Amen and amen. So it is Super Sunday. This week's going to be football forward. I'm just letting you know. And it's a little campy. It's okay. We're going to have a little fun. But today is a special day. Today is the Super Bowl. And when you mention the word Super Bowl, what's one of the first things that you think of? What's that? Salads? Salads. I don't know if I can go on. That was so far from back here. That wasn't even on my list. I had this mental list of things. Okay, so does anyone else think of something other than salads? Wings, okay. We're getting a theme going here. What's that? Queso, okay. Commercials. I hope the commercials are better. They've really kind of... halftime show. I stopped watching those after a particular one. Everyone... Huh? Just staying in control. Now, I remember that Super Bowl. I was at my house, and I was sitting watching the game, and I was watching the halftime. And the next thing I know, I'm doing this. I'm looking around at no one in the room to see, first of all, did anyone else just see what I think I saw? And then the next one was, did anyone see me seeing what I just think I saw? You know, so yeah, so there's a lot of things about the Super Bowl. It really is a part of the American fabric, and not everything about it's super awesome, but it's going to be a great time, and today's going to be a lot of fun. Today we are putting a bow on our study on Joshua and the faith that gets around town, and I've really enjoyed, I guess, the month and a half we've been with Joshua, and I hope that he's added to you. Today's sermon is entitled Joshua's Super Strategy for Success. You're welcome. That's right. That is a man who can alliterate words. But you know, the thing about life and football, there really is a strategy that works and there's a strategy that does not work. You know, any dead fish can go downstream, as my granddad used to say. But if we're going to be successful in the game of life, we need to have a strategy. And there's a lot of strategies. You can buy countless books on strategies. You can listen to countless podcasts on strategies. But today, I want us to look at Joshua as we wrap up his story and reflect on his strategy as it pertains to our strategy. So let's get going, shall we? Keys to victory. First of all, you have to have a game plan. If you aim for nothing, what do you hit? Nothing. Now, you know, it's funny. I'd like to say I'm going to be excited when allergies go away, but I realize we're like 5 weeks away from what? Allergy season. But I was having a little confab with our younger men and young lady up in the bleacher seats there. And we were talking about, you know, when you're younger, it's just having fun. You know, you don't have to pay bills and all those kind of things. Work can be a little bit of a choice instead of a necessity. And I asked them how it's going, and they said, well, we just work. And I go, welcome to it. But we got to have a good game plan. When we're younger, the game plan isn't as important. And but as we get older, there's a game plan, and things that we'd like to do, things that we, you know, hope not to have to do. But to have a good game plan is so vital, because success doesn't just happen. You don't get to the Super Bowl just because. These two teams have taken a great deal of effort. Now, what's interesting is they've taken two different attitudes. One team has spent money upon money upon money. Now, the problem is guess what? That paycheck or that account's going to come due. The Rams are going to be in financial woes in a few years, but they went all in for today. There was no price too high for a Super Bowl. On the flip side, you have the upstart Bengals. They play for a city that is not even hardly remembered in the state in which it exists. You have an upstart quarterback who's young and cocky, and I'm old enough to remember a cat named Joe Namath. If you don't know, Google him. But, you know, and so you have those things. Well, the Bengals did it the old-fashioned way. They drafted and they persevered. Do you realize that before this playoff season, the Bengals had never won a road playoff game in the entire existence of the franchise? You know what? I know another team that's getting there. But we have to have a good game plan. Now, there's several elements of a good game plan. The first is ownership. Now, if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan, you love hate our ownership, don't you? You know, if he'd just be owner, it'd be okay, you know. And we all remember when the ownership came in. You know, how old were you when Mr. Landry lost his position? 13? Okay. We were older, Ronnie. Yeah. But ownership's important because the ownership guides and provides for the rest of the organization. So let's look at the ownership. The secret to winning is constant, consistent management. Amen? Amen. Management's important. Now, if you're consistently bad at it, it's not going to help you out. But there's something about consistent management and understanding the plan and the attitudes and the actions, and that is the great Tom Landry. If you don't know who this is, you might not be saved. I'm just saying. Is there anyone here who wants to confess they don't know who this is? What? Listen, there's a door over there and there's a door over there. Just pick it. Let's look at the management. Genesis chapter 12, we saw the management come into play where God and Abram came into a covenant relationship. And it's so interesting. Jeff was talking about covenants this morning, and I'm hearing conversations on geopolitical events, and they're talking about covenants and the importance of covenants. And I'm like, I know a marginally decent preacher is talking about covenants. But in Genesis, we see God step forward and initiate a covenant with Abram, and this is what it was. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your family's house, your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we see that a relationship with God is a good foundation to build on. Amen? Amen. Do you know why? Because God doesn't change. Can we agree that if there's anything consistent in our world today, it's change? I mean, every day something changes, right? Jeff mentioned Krispy Kreme during Sunday school. And, you know, Jeff, I meant to send you a note, and I didn't get a chance to. But the problem with Krispy Kreme, well, one is they're delicious. I remember an Air Force family moved here from Nebraska years ago, and they just fawned all over Krispy Kreme, and I'm like, it's a donut. I said, besides, have you had Sweeties? Right. Yeah. And then I had that first Krispy Kreme donut right off the belt, directly out from the icing waterfall. I may not be able to go on now. And my friends, I want you to know, if sin has a taste, that's it. And I thought, good Lord, and they give you a free one? And the second time I went in, the girl goes, would you like a free donut? And I said, are you kidding me? I mean, free, it's for me, but that for sure. Anyway, the reason I went down that rabbit hole was Krispy Kreme's closed because of poor management. They overextended themselves in the marketplace. I know, I wrote a paper over it. Anyway, but the ownership was established by God with Abram. Now understand this. Abram didn't come to God with a deal. Hey, God, I think I got a partnership here that you might benefit from. Listen to me. God is always the first one in. God is always pursuing you. Do not think that you can just sit around and play with God and one day you can entice him into a relationship. God has been looking for you since the beginning of the world. God's been looking for you since Calvary in the empty tomb. The world gets really, really casual with God. Like, I'll find him when I want him. Cemeteries are full of people who thought they would find him when they wanted him. And it was continued with Joshua. Abraham was made a promise that 400 years later was fulfilled in Joshua and the Israelites. And Joshua continued that management style. Look, but if serving the Lord seems unreasonable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates and the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. He says, if serving God, the God, not a God, if serving the God is just too much, well then, okay. Can I say this? And you can judge me if you want to. But if serving the Lord is too much, all right, just go get you whatever you think you want, because the Lord will be here when you get back. How do I know? Well, because I was that guy. Oh, I want that, and I want that, and I think that's going to be great. And all I found out was bankrupt, bankrupt, bankrupt. I thought I had the world by the tail, but in truth, the world just had me by the tail. If serving God's too much, I'm going to double down. Ronnie, can I double down? There's going to be a little bit of gambling today. Well, not necessarily here, but in places. I'm going to double down right now. Christians, if serving God's too much, okay, go do something else for a little while. Because it's far worse when we as believers act like Christians. If it's too much, that's my hot sports opinion. I may not have just one. But as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And what does that look like? Well, every day it's a little bit different. But yesterday it was sitting in a funeral at 2:00 in the afternoon. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Good days, bad days, in between days. Easy days, hard days, fun days, not so fun days. And then it carries on to us. This timeless covenant promise opportunity was established with Abram, was carried on by Joshua, and guess what? We have that opportunity today. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you? The Holy Spirit isn't some... Has anyone noticed there's a lot of ghost movies and TV shows out there right now? We are really fascinated with ghosts, not the original ghosts. Yeah. It's really weird. I don't know what to say. Anyway... You are not your own. Wait a minute. Remember we were talking about management, ownership? Christian, if you claim the cross, that means you don't belong to you any longer. We're under new management. We're under new ownership. The Heavenly Father. You are not your own. You are bought with a price. What price? Calvary. The sinless Son of God gave his life that I might be saved. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So to have a good game plan, relationship with the Lord is a great place to start. Secondly, we have to have the resources to compete. Have you ever just not had the tools? Yeah. You just don't have the tools to compete. I mean, you know, if I could take it back to football, we see some teams out there, they just don't have the tools. They have the want to. They show up 5, 6, 7 days a week and train and study and all those things. They spend the money. They just don't have the tools. Well, let's look at the tools. Philippians 4:19 says this, "And this same God who takes care of me," let's read this together, shall we? "Will supply all your needs." Now, what does all mean? All means all. Now, the real hinge of the problem here is it's the needs. I'm going to confess something here. I have prayed for things that weren't needs. And I've gotten a little upset when God didn't provide what weren't needs. But, you know, eventually God showed me why he didn't give them to me. And I'm going to quote that great Garth Brooks song, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers." You know what I'm saying. Look, how many, you want to sing with me, don't you? No, we're going to move on. "From his glorious riches," can I just say this? "When our needs are in tune with God's blessings, there's not one thing he'll withhold from you. There's not one thing he'll run out of. God does not have a supply chain issue. But our needs and God's desires must parallel each other like a set of train tracks. So we have a relationship. We have an ownership. God supplies all of our needs. How much? All of them. I don't know about you, but there's been times I'm like, God, I'm running a little short here. You're a little late on the supplies. And God will regularly show me that God's never late. It's my timing that needs to adjust. Excuse me. And then leadership. Leadership is important. Who we follow is instrumental in our success and our consistency and our ability to persist in the pursuit. Let's look. Excuse me. If anyone's going that way, did she? Gold star. What's that? Oh, okay. No, it's all good. We're just out of bottled water. Anyway, Proverbs 3:6, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Part of the challenge I wrestle with, you're too sanctified, I know you don't have this challenge, is sometimes I don't acknowledge him in all of my ways. I don't know about you, but at least once in my life, I said, "Lord, I got this. You go handle world hunger." But the Bible says that if we acknowledge him in everything, the way we think, the way we act, the way we manage our finances, the way we treat other people, if we will acknowledge him in all of our lives, all 100%, in every box of our waffle, whatever illustration you want to read, there she is. You're the best. Look, did you see her stepping up because I stopped talking? You're the best. Hey. You could have brought it in your hands. That'd been awesome. I keep thinking I'm over this, but I'm not. One of my greatest challenges is being mindful to acknowledge him in everything. In everything. And seek him. Secondly, Proverbs 16 tells us this. "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." Now, yesterday's history and tomorrow's a hope, but do you know who's in tomorrow? The Lord. And I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. I have an idea. I have some plans. But the Lord orders my steps. Psalms 32 says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go." Anyone here ever make a wrong turn? I thought I was lost once, but I was just temporarily misplaced. The Lord will show us where to go. "I will counsel you," what? "With my loving eye." There's been some times in my life where I got a little off track. But I can say this, for the majority of my life, the Lord has guided me. I was visiting with a young newly surrendered to ministry young man recently. We were talking about ministry and those things. 35-year sentence so far. And I told him, you know, one of the strange things for me is I have never applied for a position. The Lord has always opened the door. Jeff, I hadn't seen my resume. I might not even have a resume anymore. It might be like two computers back. But the Lord has guided my steps. And I say this with absolute sincerity. He's done a far better job than I ever would have. And I'm so thankful, so thankful. So we sang about this in our last song. So when we're looking for coaching, when we're looking for guidance and instruction, my friends, there's no better place to look than Jesus. Amen? Listen, you could buy all the help you books you want to, but the greatest source is the perfect source. It's Jesus. When we want to know what it looks like, when we want to know what God looks like, when we want to know how we should act, look to Jesus. And I thought of this old hymn, and I wanted to share it with you. I'll not try to sing it because obviously. O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Have you ever been in a dark room in life? If you're not in one now, you're either coming out of it, or don't let me depress you. You're heading toward it. There's a light for a look at the Savior. Every dark room, there's a glimpse of Jesus in it. And life more abundant and free. I don't know. Is there anyone that doesn't want that? More abundant and free. His word shall never fail you, he promised. His word. My word might fail you. The government's word might fail you. Yeah. Don't go there. His word will never fail you. Believe him and he will, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. We don't need a third party. We just need more Jesus. We don't need another organization to parallel or to replace NATO. We need more Jesus. I'm about to step off in it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Parents, you know it. When you look deeply into the eyes of your children, the things of this world grow strangely dim. When you look deeply into the eyes of your loved one, your husband or your wife, the things of this world grow strangely dim. Because we can only concentrate on one thing. We can keep up with this, but you can only concentrate on one thing at a time. And when we turn our eyes upon Jesus, the things of this world grow strangely dim. Why? It's not denial. It is overwhelmed by the light of God's glory and grace. We get a glimpse of what heaven will be like. A relationship with the Lord's good, ownership, resources, leadership, and lastly, personnel. There's no I in team. Football is an individual sport, but it takes 10 other cats to make you successful. You don't get to the Super Bowl alone. There's a difference between a friend and a godly friend. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you what. A friend is a good thing, but a godly friend is the best thing. Now, don't hear me say that you should not be friends with non-Christians, because we should have friends. You know, we should model and share and things, but A godly friend goes a long, long way. Proverbs 13 tells us this: he who walks in the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Boy, isn't that the truth? Have you ever been guilty by association? Now, we have a couple of peace officers over here. Have you ever snatched up a whole car of people? Whole car. Car and all. Now, I promise you, at least one person in the car says, "I didn't know that was in here." Man, I'm going to tell you. You know, it's like my grandma used to say, if you lay with dogs, you're going to get fleas. We got to be careful. Got to be careful. Being in the council of the wise makes you more wise. But man, the wrong place, the wrong crowd at the wrong time, not bueno. Proverbs 18, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Well, that friend is Jesus, but can I say this? I have brothers in the faith that have been with me through thick and thin. I just don't even know how, I don't know how to express, you know. And they mean the world to me. And I'm so thankful to have them, because I know that their heart and my heart both seek the same thing, and their desire is to see me succeed for the glory of the Lord and not just for their own benefit. Proverbs 17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born from adversity. You'll know what kind of friend they are when things get tough. Everybody likes to be at the Super Bowl party, but when it's time for you to move from one house to another, you'll find out who your friends are. Isn't that true? I warned Josh before he got a truck. I said, either you know a guy with a truck or you're the guy with the truck. Isn't that right, Josh? Oh, yeah, yeah. The beautiful thing about godly friends is they are refined and defined by the fires they've walked through with you. It's not hard to find someone who wants to celebrate with you, but sometimes it's hard to find those people that are willing to weep with you and to walk under the burden with you. Those, my friends, are priceless. Have a good game plan. Now we have to overcome setbacks. Is this true? Living a Christian life, the victorious Christian, it's hard. The world looks at us and they go, "Oh, it's just so easy." It's kind of like the duck on the pond. Up on top of the water, the duck just looks cool. Underneath, he's just working like crazy. You ever think about that? It's true. You know, up here, they're just, yeah. It makes me think of that. I think it's an Apple commercial where the kid's riding the bike. He goes, "I look good today. I look good today. Jared, you look good Wednesday, baby." He came rolling in on a bike, and that just fired off right in my head. But if you're striving to live for Christ, it's not as easy as some of us make it look, right? The world looks at us, and they say, "Oh, well, you know, it's easy." If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. It's kind of like a dieting. If it were easy, everyone would be doing it. Vince Lombardi says this: the difference between a successful person and others is not lack of strength or lack of knowledge, but it's lack of will. If we're going to be successful for the Lord, it's a matter of will. Jeff, you said it. You hadn't forgotten how to sin. You just have chosen not to. And isn't that a lot of us? You know where it is. You know where to find it. And it's a shorter walk than ever. But like they discussed in the morning Sunday school calls, the price of admission is a lot higher today. And so Vince Lombardi says that, you know, to be victorious, it's a matter of will. I love this. Paul Brown says, you can learn a line from a win, but you can learn a book from a defeat. Let's let that sink in a second. You can learn a line from a win, a book from a defeat. Our greatest lessons come from our greatest failures, don't they? It's the hard times that teach us the most. And so we need to value those. Bill Walsh and that great Joe Montana, the catch. Do allow yourself appropriate recovery and grieving time. You've been knocked senseless. Give yourself a little time to recuperate. That's good counsel. The key word is here, a little. Don't let it drag on. Hey, it's healthy to fall apart sometimes. We just can't stay there too long. And that's the way it is in life. That's the way it is in living with the Lord. I don't know if you know this, but every now and then, I just got to pick a place to fall apart. I just can't stay there. Good game plan, overcoming setbacks, and delivering in the moment. You got to deliver in the moment. Success is the peace of mind that comes when you know you have given everything you have to give to an opportunity that life has presented you, Don Shula says. We don't all get to win all the time. Amen? That's why everyone gets a trophy. Does it work? Dan Marino, one of the most prolific and skilled quarterbacks to ever play the game of football, played in one Super Bowl and lost. Played the rest of his career, never playing in a Super Bowl, much less winning one. But the reason Dan Marino is great is because he gave everything he had as often as he could. And that's where we are. We're not going to win every day. But we need to show up, man up, and give it our best. And do our best in the midst of the moment. So we've got to have a good game plan. We've got to overcome setbacks. We've got to deliver in the moment. The next one is don't make excuses. Bill Parcells says this, losers assemble in small groups and complain. Winners assemble as a team and find ways to win. Amen? It's getting real quiet in here, what? Can I say this? You're part of the winners. You know why? Because you're here together. We've got a game book, the Word. We come together, and we've got our wins, and we've got our losses. We've got our ups and our downs. But we come together to find out how to win more consistently on a higher level by the grace of God. Amen? Winners come together. Let's find a solution. I just need you to know this. I can whine enough for everybody. You just bring the cheese. I've got plenty of wine. Don't judge me for that. But sometimes I need to come together with the winners to encourage me and to give me insight and those sort of things. Listen, we can't make excuses. The devil didn't make you do it. Now, the devil may have baited the hook, but the devil didn't make you do it. Government didn't make you do it. Your boss didn't make you do it. Your spouse didn't make you do it. My friends, we've got to own us, and we've got to not make excuses in our lives when it comes to the Lord and to sin and other things. We've got to own us and stop trying to make excuses. The world's got an excuse for everything. And the reason I know this is because I'm one of the greatest excuse makers there ever lived. But I've got to own me, and I've got to do a better job and not make excuses. Have a good game plan, overcome setbacks, deliver in the moment, don't make excuses. And Scott, do you remember this? Compete through the whistle. Back in the day, you compete through the whistle. In football, if you're not competing till the whistle blows, you're going to get injured. If you let up, somewhere, sometime, you're going to get hurt. And so we've got to compete through the whistle. Do you want to be safe and good, or do you want to take a chance and be great? Yeah, that's a cat that laughs. Well, no, that's not true. That's the cat before the last cat that won Dallas Cowboys Super Bowls. Scab's still there. If we're not careful, we can settle into the safe. And playing it safe in and of itself isn't a sin, but sometimes God calls us out of safe to something more. And he can do that because of this promise. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, what seems to be scary and uncertain to us, to the Lord, isn't the same thing. The Lord doesn't see it the way we see it. Why? Because he lives outside of time. He sees everything at the same time. He has the ability and the desire and to help us achieve. So before we go, can I give some free stuff? Okay. Well, here's a great quote. What you see as a chance, God may see as an opportunity. Isn't that true? What did I do? You're all making me self-conscious now. Okay, so Sona let me know afterwards, right? Jeff, do you remember a conversation over in the old building, up in the front right corner, leaning on a stack of chairs after Thanksgiving dinner? Hey, Jimmy, you ever thought about maybe pastoring here? Oh, no, that's too big a chance. Well, I'm glad God saw it as an opportunity. What we see as a chance, God may see as an opportunity. Now, I want to give you some fun stuff here. Are you ready? Are you ready? Let me hear you say ready. This young guy knows what he's talking about. That's right. That's Travis Tornado. That's right. Marco, did you play it, Travis? No? Houston. Oh, yeah. Oh, if that young man could tell that middle-aged man some stuff. But if that middle-aged man could have told that young man some stuff. It's the quality of the photograph. You know, this was before 4K. I just about spit in the water. This is Greenville High School football, for those of you who may not know. Circa 1963. Somewhere in that photograph is the man that's responsible for this. I'm going to give you a second to look at it and see if you can find him. I'll give you a guess. Anybody want to guess which one? 64. Let me look. Okay. I wouldn't hate him. That's not him, though. Anybody else? 35. Let's see what... 75. Okay, my dyslexia, 75. Okay. No. If I'm being honest, he looks a little confused. But that's, no. One more, anybody else? One more. What's that? 87. Oh, right there? Okay, so, see, 87's got a problem because he's not even looking at the camera. Cheerleaders must be to his right. I'm going to give you one more. What was yours? Number eight on the third row. Oh, up on the very top? Top row, far left. Man, my dyslexia is blowing up. Oh, okay, gotcha, right there. All you can see is the eight. Okay. No, but you're the closest. I'll tell you why, because my daddy, you can only see his eight too. That's right. Is that you, Gay? Yeah, yeah. That's the man who made all this possible. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we thank you for the game called life. And Lord, much like this wonderful American pastime, Lord, we don't know how long our clock is. But Father, you call us to compete with passion and perseverance for as long as possible. And Father, we admit today that we need a lot of tools in our tool bag to compete in life. But Father, we admit to you that you can provide them all. And Father, today we pray that you would help us as we compete on the field of life. Lord, that we would do it well. Lord, that we would avoid the penalty flags of sin and the consequences that can bring on ourselves and on those we live this life with. Father, we pray that you would help us to pursue you and to see you and to trust you and to model ourselves after you. Lord, to celebrate the victors and to mourn with those that are sorrowful. Lord, let us love one another like you have first loved us. Lord, we thank you that we're not in this game alone. We just love you and we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.